This is World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris. Lucinda Williams is one of those artists whose influence goes far beyond her own work. I can't count the number of artists I've spoken to who name Lucinda as someone they admire or as someone whose songwriting helped shape their own. She's released 14 studio albums over the last four decades, and throughout that time has never allowed herself to be slotted into a genre. She's carved her own path, and she's spoken her own truth. She's also, as you'll hear, incredibly fun to talk to. Lucinda is funny, she's clever, and she can tell a hell of a good story. I spoke with Lucinda Williams from her home in Nashville at the end of June about her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels. She told stories about growing up the daughter of poet Miller Williams and about her first memories of getting politically active. That conversation is coming up, along with live recordings of some of her new songs, beginning with You Can't Rule Me. This is Lucinda Williams on World Cafe.
The man I got right to talk about what I say. Way too much is going wrong and it's right in front of me.
Recorded live, that's Lucinda Williams' You Can't Rule Me from her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels. My name is Rena Duris. This is World Cafe. Lucinda Williams is my guest today. Lucinda, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
We're not in the usual World Cafe studio right now. We're still making the show remotely. We're speaking via video chat. Where exactly are you at the moment?
In Nashville, Tennessee, at our house here in East Nashville. We bought this house. We moved in around end of February or something. And then about 2 weeks later, the tornado hit.
Yeah.
A tornado hit.
I was going to ask about that.
And then the pandemic hit. So it's been an interesting year.
Now, did that tornado in Nashville, I know that East Nashville was affected by it. Did it, did it affect you personally? Did it?
It basically clambered the front porch and part of the roof. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's astounding.
Yeah.
The strength of these things.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we were safe. We were fine. The rest of the house didn't get anything. Some of our neighbors weren't quite as lucky. But you can still see, we still haven't had all the repairs done because there is a wood shortage, apparently, we were told.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure that the pandemic and everything did not make any of the repairing stuff easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think over the last few months in self-isolation, lots of people are working from home or they're trying to be productive or find a routine at a time when that could be a little bit difficult. When you're working on an album or when you're writing, are you the kind of person who has a routine? Do you know, get up and get to work, or how does that work for you?
No, I'm not. I kind of go in what a therapist referred to me one time as a J curve, you know, where so I was so worried about that I didn't write like other people who have these schedules and, you know, set their alarm and get up and write from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. or something. But I would still end up with the songs and everything, but I just would, as she said, don't worry about it. You work on a J curve and that's okay.
Just out of curiosity for people who don't know, including maybe me, what is a J curve? What does that mean?
Well, it just means, you know, like you kind of just go along, you know, like a candy cane sort of.
Yeah.
You're not in work mode.
Oh, I see.
Right.
So like you're kind of like a horizontal.
There's kind of a swoosh where I get into it and I'm feverishly like, and that'll go for like anywhere from a week to 3 weeks or something, or a month. And that's all I do.
I was wondering if you could maybe take us through the process of the song we're about to hear. The next song we're going to listen to is Bone of Contention.
Yeah.
Where did this one begin?
Well, actually, it's interesting because this is the one song on the album that was actually written and recorded when I was working on the album right after West, the Little Honey album. So it goes that far back. We re-recorded it and it fits really well.
Let's take a listen to it right now so people can hear exactly what we're talking about. Bone of Contention, Lucinda Williams on Roll Cafe. Thank you. That was Bone of Contention, recorded live for World Cafe from Lucinda Williams. It's from her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels. I'm talking to Lucinda Williams today. That one is, it's one of the darker songs on the record. It may have a political message along with a few other tracks on the album. I read something where you said that you always wanted to be able to write really good topical songs mm-hmm. like Bob Dylan's A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall or Masters of War. And I'm going to quote you here. You said, "It's hard. I find it much easier to write an unrequited love song than mm-hmm. to write about what's wrong with the system and how we're getting screwed."
Yeah.
Why is it so much harder?
They're just harder to write. I don't know why exactly. And then there's also this kind of, you know, probably voice telling some people, you know, like, you don't need to write about this kind of stuff. It doesn't fit with what you do or whatever it is. I mean, I'm getting so much different feedback.
Yeah.
You know, about some of these songs, anywhere from the majority of it, fortunately, is thank you, I needed that, to I'm never buying your records again. You should just shut up and sing, kind of thing.
Right.
I mean,
I want to get into that a little bit more in a minute, because I can imagine that you are probably getting some of that. But before we get there, I do want to talk about the sort of darkness on this album and some of the artists that I've sort of seen you kind of talk about in some interviews, like Leonard Cohen and Nick mm-hmm. Cave. I was thinking about this because your dad, Miller Williams, he was a poet. And I think Leonard mm-hmm. Cohen and Nick Cave are two artists who are really seen, and Bob Dylan, of course, they're all seen as poets. Mm-hmm. Is there a lesson that you took from your dad, the poet Miller Williams, that you use in your songwriting now?
Well, I think I just, over the years, I mean, when I was still living at home and everything, and I used to show him, when I was just starting out, I'd show him what I was working on, and he would critique it. And, you know, he was a professor, you know, he taught creative writing. So we kind of ended up, it was almost like an unofficial apprenticeship, you know, and he saw poetry and songwriting as two different things.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I remember, you know, one time I wrote something that I thought maybe could be a poem, and sent it to my dad, and he said, "Honey, I think this wants to be a song." Maybe part of that was, you know, he's the poet, I'm the songwriter.
Right. Yeah, stay in your lane.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I remember one of the things he taught me was, he said, never censor yourself.
You know, you do come from a long line of politically active people on your dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
What's one of your earliest memories of getting involved politically in something where you felt that, like, that fire to do something?
You know, when I was in high school, my teenage years, it was the 60s. So it was, you know, we were in Vietnam, and it was just, that feeling was just in the air. And I was reading, you know, a lot of books, like Autobiography of Malcolm X. And there were groups like SDS, you know, Students for Democratic Society. I got in trouble at high school. We were living in New Orleans. My dad was teaching at Loyola. I was going to a inner city public high school, which was, you know, overcrowded and understaffed, and we had this racist principal, and some of the students drew up a list of grievances and demands and were presenting it to the school, and so they asked me to help hand those out on campus one day, and we got caught, and so a few of us got sent to the office. This was in 1968 or 69. And so as a former protest, I hadn't been saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It came out over the intercom system every single day. You had to stand up and, you know, put your hand over your heart, say the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, I would stand up, but I wouldn't say it. It was just my little silent way of protesting. But I got caught when we got sent to the office, because it came out over the intercom system, and the assistant principal saw. And none of us said it. And, right. You know, so we all got indefinitely suspended. And then I went home, and my dad said, "That's okay, honey. We'll get an ACLU lawyer, and we'll get you back in."
Wow.
And it was proven to be unconstitutional.
Really?
Yeah. I was a real little activist, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to ask you about this because this album, your album, you released it back in April. Now we're recording this at the end of June, and a lot has happened between then and now.
Right.
What's been going through your head as you've watched the protests that are happening here and around the world?
Remembering.
Yeah.
That feeling of being out there on the street with other people, you know, other like-minded people.
The next song that we're going to hear from Lucinda Williams is called Man Without a Soul. And it did stir up a little bit of controversy with your friend and with your fans. You know, some of them thought that you were attacking Trump with this one. But was that the case when you were writing it?
Well, you know, kind of, yeah, pretty much. But I didn't really want it to. I like to leave things open to interpretation. So anyway, but yeah.
Well, let's hear it, and then we'll come back and talk a little more in 1 second. It's Man Without a Soul. You can decide which man that is yourself. Lucinda Williams recorded live for World Cafe.
Yeah.
Recorded live for World Cafe, that was Lucinda Williams, Man Without a Soul, a song from her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels. I'm Raina Duras, speaking with Lucinda Williams today. So that song has been interpreted different ways by different people. And no matter what, people will bring their own perceptions when they engage in any kind of art. But you have gotten a bit of backlash. And I was wondering, like, is it strange when you have fans who are people who have obviously connected to your art on some personal level, have such a different view of the world from you?
Yeah. And it never ceases to amaze me. I mean, I used to think, and I still have trouble with this, I used to think that, well, anybody who's a fan of my music, we're going to be of like minds. There was an article in the New York Times, and it was, the title of it was, Where is the Soul of Donald Trump? Tom and I were like, wow, has he heard my song, or is that just a coincidence? But, you know, we saw an opportunity, so we, on my fan page on Facebook, not on my, I didn't post it, but, you know, our team put up a link to the article with a link to the song, Man Without a Soul. Anyway, so I'm looking at this, some of the comments start coming in. This one was really interesting. It said something about, I've been a big fan of Lucinda Williams for a long time, but I don't feel like now I want to listen to her music anymore. She's written this Man Without a Soul. He said, I thought she was a compassionate person. You know, she wrote that song, Compassion, but she's not compassionate. Listen to this song, Man Without a Soul. This is not a compassionate song. And I was just, oh my God, really? I mean, the reason I wrote all this stuff is because I am compassionate and I care. But here's this guy going, like, accusing me of not being compassionate. Really, it kind of felt like an attack on my character. That's what bothered me so
how
much.
Does it, how do you deal with that stuff and not take it? I mean, it's hard, but how do you not take it personally?
The old saying, you know, don't read the comments.
Right.
You know, don't read the comment section. Don't read the reviews, you know.
Do you feel like you have an opportunity or a responsibility to maybe talk to people who don't agree with you?
Well, I try sometimes. Yeah, you know, I mean, I actually enjoy a good, healthy debate. When somebody feels like that, I mean, I would love to get in. There's nothing more I would enjoy. But the thing that I've discovered is you can't ever get an answer that makes sense. It seems different than other times when you could get into debates like that.
You know, I was talking to Jason Isbell recently, and, you know, he's somebody, if you follow him on social media, you know, pretty forthcoming about his views in his songs and online. And he gets his share of, you know, shall we say, feedback from fans who disagree with him politically. And you two, you know, you're both artists who play music that's kind of tough to categorize, but often does, you know, lean into the country world. Do you feel like you fit in to the country landscape, into that
God.
World? No,
not at all. I mean, you know, it's kind of a blurry line. I mean, because I guess I got somehow attached to that sort of that world, but I was never part of the country music industry. I mean, I was never that kind of country. You know, I did grow up listening to country music and singing country songs, but more the old style, what I call real country music. I don't connect with what is called country music these days.
I do want to talk about, just really quick before we go on to the last song that we're going to hear, you are planning a tour with Jason Isbell for 2021.
Yes.
What are you most looking forward to about that tour?
Well, I mean, I love Jason. You know, we've done a few things together before, and he's such a great guitar player. I definitely think, you know, would think we'll probably do some collaborating together, you know, which I always love doing.
Mm-hmm. So the last song that we're going to hear is one called When the Way Gets Dark. And, you know, we've talked about this a bit. This is an album with some dark moments on it, but this song, there's some light in here.
Yes.
What can you tell us about When the Way Gets Dark?
Well, I wrote it fairly quickly, and it was kind of towards the end of, obviously, I didn't want the whole entire album to just be, you know, bleak. when it's all said and done, I'm still an optimistic person, and I'm not cynical. I'm not jaded. And that was, I felt the need to, you know, write a song that was just kind of about that, hanging in there. So it's just about letting people know, you know, you're not alone, and don't be alone. It's not a good time to be alone. It's never a good time to be alone, but especially right now.
Well, let's listen to it. This is When the Way Gets Dark from Lucinda Williams. Lucinda Williams recorded live for World Cafe. That song is called When the Way Gets Dark. It's new. It's from her new album, Good Souls, Better Angels. Lucinda Williams has been my guest in the cafe today. Thank you so much. I loved you talking to you. That was so fun.
This has been great.
It really was. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm Rena Duris. More in a moment on World Cafe.